Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene. And today we're talking about
things that RPGs don't do well.
Okay. You'll have to explain.
Well, there's certain, what is it? There's certain genres, there's certain areas that an RPG doesn't do well, that doesn't give you that feeling of playing that endeavor. High on the list for me is sports, right? The idea of playing a game of sports and using that excitement, that thrill, that dramatic stuff, and turn it into a role-playing game.
Okay.
And the reason I think the reason is because we watch a lot of movies, sports movies, like I'm going to name off a list, like Vision Quest, which has to do with high school wrestling, Rudy, which has to do with college football. Where's my list? Brian's Song, which is about football and cancer, which sucks. And Rocky, you know, the famous Rocky series of boxing as a sport. So when you try to have a role-playing game about any of those things, I think it falls short of the excitement you see on the screen. And there is like, there's just doesn't work. It doesn't happen. I think there's various reasons for that, obviously. I think the major reason is all those situations, all those movies, except for Brian's Song, which is about two football players, but they're usually about one person trying to overcome some event, some tournament, some personal best, some whatever. And it's hard to translate into a role-playing game, because a role-playing game is a group endeavor. There might be some movies about teams, like League of Their Own, which is about a league of women baseball players back, I think they were in World War II. And even then, that would be tough. Though, I didn't think there was any sports games out there at all. I mean, there's one about worldwide wrestling or professional wrestling. I don't know if you consider that a sport. And it's, of course, done with Powered by the Apocalypse. So there's a lot of dramatic stuff happening. And in fact, when I looked it up online, there are a ton of games about sports. There's one called Dramatic High School Sports or something like that. And, of course, it's Powered by the Apocalypse. So Powered by the Apocalypse you rules. I think it has that very – it's one of those series of rules that can really work with almost anything. And in this case, they play up the drama of high school, being in high school – passing tests and making friends and moves that has to do with all that stuff, including whatever sport you play in it, volleyball, basketball, or whatever. So there is RPGs out there that are doing it, but I don't know how well they do it. I've heard that the worldwide wrestling game is really cool, but it doesn't really come out and grab me. And there's various reasons for that, right? Like I said, I listed one, is that it's hard to mimic that excitement that you see on screen from one guy or one person trying to achieve greatness in the movie.
Okay, I shall disagree with you on all
really?
Points.
Okay, like what do you mean?
Well, if you think about Rocky, you could.
Yes.
There could be lots of players involved in a story about a boxer.
Okay.
Going to box in a match. And it doesn't even have to be a Rocky kind of story. It could be a D&D story where you get somewhere and they're having a fight. And you've done this before.
Okay.
Where one of the players decides to go into the fight and be, you know, I could do that. Usually a barbarian or a fighter, right?
Right.
And they roll to fight, whatever it is, brawling or whatever the skill is.
Right.
Brawling might not be in D&D, I'm not sure.
It used to be.
But we've been in places like that where people have joined into a tournament or done something, and it's worked out and it's been pretty exciting. It doesn't necessarily have, it's not a whole game about it, but it right. does it well.
I mean, you're talking about coming with situations where stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember to break my own rule, not my own rule, but the idea that you can't, that doesn't do it well. I remember years ago. This is back when Don was playing D&D and Sip, and we're all together in Salinas. And we're playing D&D, AD&D at this point. So my brother, we come into this town and they have, I forget what he called it, but last man standing or the king of the hill, right? So they had this, there was this, in the middle of the town plaza, they had this platform that looked like a ziggurat pyramid. And they just unleashed everybody. I don't know how many players were playing or participating, like 20. And Don and Sip were both, I think Don was a magic user and Sip was a cleric. And so, which is not the combat people. And they go into the tournament. The whole idea is you're climbing up to get to the top, and the person who's the last man standing at the top of this pyramid wins the prize. So they're fighting, and instead of fighting, they decide to body slam everybody because I guess they were big on watching wrestling way back when. This,
yes,
easily 30 years, 40 years ago now. Yeah.
In the 80s, late 80s.
Maybe not quite 40 years ago, but almost. Within the more than 30,
anyway,
35 years ago, so I don't know what my brother used as a rule mechanism for, because it wasn't really in the rules, body slamming somebody. So he comes up with something, and so they're being really successful or getting really lucky in their dice rolls, and they're body slamming people left and right, which also throws them down. Instead, you know, trying to punch somebody out, knock them out, and put them down, they're just like not cheating, but whatever you want to call it. It's body slamming to the lower level as they climb up. And they were being really good, and they were getting really lucky, and they were making it to the top. I don't think that either one of them made it to the top and ended the game, but I thought it was an interesting game, and they had a fantastic time. So that is an element of like wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Of you could do that, but that was just like a scene and not the whole game. So I'm talking about a game that does like sports well. Though I was looking at that one Powered by the Apocalypse game that dealt with high school sports, but it involved everything, right? It was a team.
That's what I'm saying. If you have a scenario where the fight is the boxing match is the ultimate part of the fight, right? Right. Or the game.
The basketball tournament.
Yeah. Then it's not necessarily about just that one person. There's all kinds of people around them. Right. The coach, the healer, medic, whatever. The different people.
Water bucket guy.
I wouldn't go there.
Well, I mean, I think in a single sport like boxing would be tough. But a team sport like volleyball or anything in high school. I don't forget what high school sports we had. I'm sure we had a football, basketball.
Volleyball, team. Football, basketball, volleyball. Track and field.
Track and field. I guess anything where there's a competition, right?
Yes.
But from what I read of these games, it has nothing, well, it has to do with the tournament or the game at the end of the week. Because I remember, most games
were on Fridays.
Once a week or something like that. And it's about the build up to that game, right?
But that's what those sports, that's what Rudy is, and those other sports movies. It's about the build up to the game, right? And when we talked about this topic, one of the things you said was car chases, and I said, well, you go, there's nothing that does it good, and I go, I gave you two examples of things that do car chases good, and you go, oh yeah.
Well, okay, so I was thinking that car chases probably wouldn't be a good thing either. Because it's real hard to navigate the whole idea of the car, the speed, the obstacles that get in the way. And you mentioned, well, Shadowrun does it, and I forgot how it did it. Because we did do it, and we did look up the rules and stuff. And it's a little bit more crunchy, right? And then on the opposite side is what?
Feng Shui.
Oh, yeah, Feng Shui, which is totally loose.
It's just a drive skill.
It's drive skill, and everything else is based on that, and how well you drive, and all this other stuff, or how well you make the roll. So yeah, so in those cases, yes.
And we have had games with car chases with both of those cases, and they've both been incredibly exciting for all the players.
Yeah, I have to admit that you're right. I was wrong. So I was thinking, well, car chases are, like I said, are real difficult because depending on how realistic you want, right? Do you have to put down the street, and then remember you're moving at, depending on how fast,
yeah,
you know, 60 to 120 miles an hour, possibly faster, don't any faster than that, you're not going to be wanting to stick your window out, arm out or head out and
yeah,
shooting at
to
it
shoot in.
Out of the sunroof or something. But within 60 miles, it's really fast, right? So how do you deal with that movement? In Feng Shui, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And Shadowrun.
How good can you make the scene look?
Right. And then in Shadowrun, it's a little bit more crunchy, but they kind of forego the whole idea of using tactical grid combat.
Right. The car has its own hit points. The car takes damage.
As
so
armor.
The car is its own living being, right, at this point. And people shooting at it, the car gets hit. And we've done it in Shadowrun. We've done it in helicopters and different kinds of things, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember now.
So there's when something shoots at it, it's like its own, it has its own dodge and stuff like that. So
right.
It does make it very exciting if you're in the helicopter.
Especially
going,
if you're in the helicopter.
I don't want to die.
Helicopters, once they stop rotating the propeller, things start going pretty badly.
And so I was like, well, we haven't done car chases. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? In Shadowrun, there were all kinds of car chases. And it had a lot to do with, and the boys loved it because they got out there. They got out the rules and they got to look it up.
Well, they have to use weapons that can punch through armor.
Right.
Especially if they have armored cars, which most of them, the players probably did, and so, probably so did the enemy. So you're right. I seem to be batting zero with the difficulty of things that RPGs don't do good at. I still think sports is a tough one. I think only because. In my mind, I was thinking more like Dungeons and Dragons and other normal games or more, not normal, but very popular games. Well, Power Apocalypse is probably a pretty popular thing.
Yeah.
But not nearly as much as like D&D. But you're right. I was looking at the character sheet of that teenage high school sport one, and then, I had not thought of it, of what you could put in the game, right? So in the Powered by Apocalypse, there's a test that you could throw at the players. There's a girlfriend gets mad at you, and there's all these this drama.
It's all this stuff. The drama's all around it. When you get to the actual sport, it's just rolling, right?
Yes,
to
it's just
see
more of a
it's
and how much advantage you can get prior running
right.
up to the game, whether you're distracted because your girlfriend broke up with you or you're failing
right.
your math, which is going to get you kicked off the team. So I understand that. I was thinking more like literally like in a movie, like
right.
let's say Rudy, right, where he's training and doing this stuff, but it's not about that. It's about him.
It's about the people around him,
it's about
right?
the people around him and people who try to help him and people who are up against him and
right.
how he perseveres against that by going to school and by working out and by toughing out the injuries that he gets from being a punching bag on the football team, and how he's rewarded at the end by letting him play. And there's all kinds of movies that played out that way. I never thought one that just came up. I was just looking online. Was this one person said that playing Mecha, big robots, is all the RPGs that have come out have been really suck because
this is this person's opinion.
Yes, and I can see where he's coming from, right? So, and it is a problem. For almost any of these games, so you can go into a giant robot,
mm-hmm.
you know, however you want to look what a giant robot is, whether it's
a mech warrior,
the Asian mechton that they look like giant robots, or mech warrior, which
right.
are more like bipedal things that have all kinds of guns attached to them, and the situation arises when the pilots of these things get out of the mech. How it's a much different game than when they're in the mech.
Didn't we talk to people that made a mech warrior game? And I remember that one of the things they said is a lot of people didn't like it because if you're in it, you only get that one role, right? You it's you and it. But they said in their game that the mech has its stuff and the player has its stuff, right? So that you're really in a way you're playing two characters, or that's the way it feels because you get two, what do you call it, plays per turn.
Two characters
per turn. And when you told me that someone was saying that they didn't like it, it didn't do it well, I was like, well, there's a lot of people who have gone out and said, well, this, I don't like the way this is, and they've changed it, right? So, they've changed the way that it works.
Well, so there's this game called Battletech, which is giant robots fighting each other. They don't worry about the pilots, except if you get shot and killed, and then that's lose. Which I think can happen. But, you know, it is a tabletop skirmish. I don't know if you, but war game, right? You have your mech. You have so much armor on your front, on your back, on your arms. And there's just, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but you've probably never seen the character sheet or the robot sheet. And it's just a bunch of boxes.
Right.
And that's how much boxes they can take before that piece of equipment becomes useless and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or the armor is dissipated. So you're basically just running around the tabletop with movement. Or you can only have moved so much depending on what your speed is. And then you're shooting at each other depending on lines of sight and what weapon is on which side and all that. And you're basically just shooting the crap out of each other. Right? So then Battletech, there was this game called Battle Mech or...
Anyway,
where they include, it's a role playing game, so they include the mech warriors, the mech warrior, that's what it's called, and there it talks about the pilots, but also incorporates the game about the giant robot.
Uh-huh.
So they incorporated they try to put in this role playing element by following the pilots, but they still had
the fighting element of
the giant robots, which basically would be turned into a totally different game.
Right.
So Savage Union is the game you're talking about, yes, where we talked to Panny and Aled, and they were talking about how, well, they just kind of made the same, they didn't make a separate set of rules. It's the same set of rules for both the mech and the person. There's absolutely no difference. The difference is that when they get out of the mech, it's a different type of adventure or a different type, like, let's say the mech can't fit in a certain place.
Right.
So that's why you get out of your mech.
Right.
To explore places where your mech can't, and you don't want to rip things apart to explore, because there's, you know, your salvage union means that you're out there trying to salvage in a post-apocalyptic giant mech game. And I think that's the difference is that in Savage Union is that they kind of just, they made it not so crunchy about the rules, it ceased becoming a tabletop battle situation. A
miniature war game.
Kind of made it more like a role-playing game, right, where these giant robots have these abilities that can shoot at each other and do damage to each other and repair themselves and do this and that. And it depends on, you know, how fast you want your mech to go. And they really simplified the rules, and it's not some really complicated thing. And I think that's where you can have that kind of thing happen is where, I mean, that's where you can have giant robots and pilots in the same game and not
be... And it's not just one thing where you're just in it trying to get your mech to kill the other mech.
Yeah. So I think what has happened, like in that sports game, I was thinking, well, how are they going to represent the sport? Like the football part, let's say it's a football game. Are you going to... And I was thinking just like Battletech. Well, they're going to have a battle grid of the football, and you got to roll dice to see if they pass and the pass is well, or the pass, or the, we call it, the handoff is good. You have to have different plays and stuff like that. And I'm like,
remember that when we did miniature games, there was that miniature game with sports. Is that the one that you're talking about?
No.
Where,
I don't remember.
Where it was the basketball or blood ball or something where the
blood bowl,
where the characters are going with the... Are they just trying to kill each other? Or
is it a playing game?
No, it was a miniature game.
It's Blood Bowl. No, they're actually playing football.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like orcs and elves and stuff like that. Yeah, that's Blood Bowl. And they have another one. There's a couple other games where we've talked about it.
We talked about them. Miniature games. So when you said this about RPGs don't do sports well, I was thinking, well, it's really like a miniature game, right?
It is a miniature game, right? Well, there's, you know, very tactical rules. But I'm talking about a role-playing game where...
I understand. Yeah. I'm just saying that there are things that they have taken them and put them there, right? And mixed the fantasy
There's Guild Ball, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's another one that has to do with the robots, I think. But you're right. I think I was thinking like a game that is very tactical and then trying to play a role-playing... morph it into a role-playing game.
Yeah.
And that that's not what these games do that do it successfully.
I think
right?
that the Monster of the Week game, or the, what do you want to call it? The
Powered by Apocalypse?
Powered by Apocalypse game is probably, gives you an idea of the way that any kind of sports team goes, right? And I told you that you could come up with all kinds of scenarios for having sports in your game. Like you could have it at a if you wanted to talk about baseball, you could have it at a baseball park, set have the setting at a baseball park.
Setting wise, yes.
And then you could incorporate the baseball game into it. Not necessarily that one of your players is it, but you have to save something so the baseball game can happen or but when you're talking about just the sports, I think that the boxing one, the idea, and there was a game that we played with when Augustine was running it where there was some kind of a competition, and your character and my character went into it. It was a gnome. We were gnomes, and we were fighting like it was a competition to beat somebody. Do you remember that? They let us have both of us do it because we were so small.
Right.
They thought that together we might match the one person, and of course we were sneaky and
tripping them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of remember that now. I had totally forgotten about it. Yeah, I didn't remember that at all.
So I think the competition in role-playing games, or a competition in role-playing games, whether it be a sport or something, comes into play when the GM thinks about it, right? Or decides to add that element in for people to do.
Yeah, you can't have sports in a role-playing game. Like, it'd be part, or even a setting, like you said, set in a park, or even it be part of the adventure. Somebody's favorite bat is missing.
Right.
And he's not going to play unless... So you got to find that bat. And then they go, where was last seen? It was seen in the locker room 20 minutes ago.
Right.
And you're, for whatever reason, you're a cop or whatever, detective, group of detectives, and find that. You know, you're, what's his name? James Gardner. What's the name of that show?
Rockford.
You're Rockford out trying to make, you know, you got to make rent. So I understand that part, and that could be exciting. But where you are actually a member of the team or the sport, that's another matter, but only because I was thinking, and like I said, I was thinking that you're trying to make a game, a role-playing game, off this board game type of thing. Like actual play the volleyball game or the football game.
Right.
But I hadn't thought about the dramatic element, right? Even when I was watching all these movies, there's all kinds of drama happening, right?
Yeah.
In Vision Quest, he...
That's what makes the movie.
He hooks up with some, you know, older woman, and she helps him, I don't know, straighten things out in his head. Rocky, you know, he has...
Adrian,
who, you know, he has confidence
and
issues,
and his coach.
Right? He has confidence issues and his coach, and at one point he starts believing that he can do it.
Right.
Where he goes, yeah, I want to be a boxer. I'm not sure. Because he was kind of a patsy, right? They're going to set him up to fail.
Right.
You know, he looks good. He's a big dude. He'll look good in the ring, but Apollo Creed is going to just tear him apart. Instead of being the punching bag, he decides to like take it seriously, and not that he didn't take it seriously before, but he realizes that he has this impossible shot at becoming the world heavyweight champion of the world, right. And he decides not to, what is it, not to leave any stone unturned to get to that goal. And I think that's it. You're right. That's drama, and that's what some RPGs do well, which a part of Apocalypse does pretty well. Right, so I was thinking, like I said, when I read the article about the giant robots, same thing. I was thinking, oh man, you're right. But then I thought about Salvage Union, right? I was like, oh, these guys have come up with a system that is not this grid, grid, move my bot here and there, and then I jump out of the bot, and then I get stomped on by a big mech.
Right, right. But that doesn't happen.
Bambi versus Godzilla.
Yeah. So whoever gave you this idea that RPGs don't do this well is, I think I know that you read it somewhere. But
it was it was a letter to another RPG. And somebody, even like one of the hosts, said horror, right? Which you totally disagree. Right when I said it, and I'm like, well, Call of Cthulhu is a horror game that's been around for
forever,
years, right? Yeah. And World of Darkness, is it a horror game? Probably.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I'm not sure what she was talking about, how it doesn't make you scared. right?
And I said, well, then play Lindworm, and you'll be scared. I don't know what the name of the game is, Summer Camp or something.
Sleepaway Camp.
And you're there's no way to win because this giant Lindworm is going to kill you all.
I was not scared at the Sleepaway Camp.
You were scared of what was happening to the characters.
I was very frightened that I was playing this game and I wasn't ever going to get the time back. That was what I was afraid of. All apologies to the writer of the game and the people who actually liked this game, but it just wasn't a game for me.
He didn't like the summer camp drama because he never experienced that.
I didn't.
Drama.
I only went to, well, there was a little bit of drama. There was some guy in the next cabin, this kid, you know, we're all 12 or 13 years old, 12 years old because it was sixth grade.
Yeah.
I think it was sixth grade. Sixth grade camp. And he wanted to fight somebody in my cabin because they had words back when they were like freaking at home. And I'm like, it was just really silly, right? And I was just like.
Well, that's sixth grade drama, right?
Yeah, it was. You're right.
And horror, because you're going, what's going on?
Yeah, he was going. It was funny because he was trying to fight somebody from his own school,
mm-hmm.
which I was in sixth grade. It was just totally crazy to me because, like,
why would you do that?
We all were in the same grade. Hello, we all went to the same school. We've been going to school together since kindergarten, and then you're gonna fight somebody that's in your own that you've known for 6 years. I'm like, or 5 years or whatever. I was like, what's wrong with this kid? But that was the drama, right? That was, and he was saying that his big brother was gonna come and hit somebody with a chain. And oh, you're right, drama. There you go. It's Sleepaway Camp.
Well, Call of Cthulhu does a good job of I think horror games, the player character can be scared. The player may not be scared because they're sitting outside of the table. But it doesn't mean that it's not a good game that when you're that invokes the fear in your player character, right?
I think that's what the person was saying, is that they didn't feel personally scared at any time during the game. So it was hard to play a horror game authentically or whatever. That's the angle that the person was saying. And I'm like, well, do I really experience the euphoria of wielding Mjolnir as Thor when I play Marvel superheroes? I don't think so. But my character...
But it's pretty exciting,
right? It's pretty exciting. And so that's what I was thinking. Or it could be pretty nerve-wracking, right? When we're playing Call of Cthulhu and we're trying to survive.
And not go crazy.
And not... Trying to survive for my character, going crazy wasn't the necessary priority. Because he was convinced he was right. Most crazy people, I'm thinking, have no problem thinking that they're okay. So I think that in that situation, I'm not sure I agree with this person. Another game that does the horror well is Dread, where you pull the Jenga tower because you fear pulling that thing might topple the tower. Top of the tower, which causes your character to die.
I think another game that does horror well is Alien. I mean, you know you don't have a big chance of surviving that game, but it makes you, the excitement level and even adrenaline level in you as the player is high because you thinking, maybe I can figure out a way to keep this alien from implanting its children inside my chest, right?
Well, there's that, and you know you're super squishy, right?
Yeah.
There's a term that I got from Era 10, which is this very obscure game, but RPG. And in that game, it's kind of interesting. I might want to.
Well, and not only that, but in Alien, because you get the push rolls, right? But every time you do it, there's a chance that you're gonna be so scared or have so much fear that you literally cannot move. And so then, as the player, you're like, my character's going to die because I cannot move.
Oh, yeah, the panic. Yes, the stress and panic situation. Which, if you panic and, like, start screaming or something, it could affect other people around you.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that you might start screaming, and then other people hear you scream, and then they have to roll, and it could have this chain reaction.
Yeah. And or the alien could hear you screaming and just come for you, right?
Well, there's that. But then if everybody's like catatonic, the alien has
an easy meal. Yeah.
Oh, look at it's just huddled in the corner here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat you.
Yeah. So
that's true. I think.
So I'm not sure what the person meant by they never experienced fear, but if you're playing a role playing game as the player, you may not experience fear, but your character might, right?
Right. And I think that's where we as role players have to put ourselves in. I mean, I don't know if I ever feel scared, but I feel scared for my character dying, or I can put myself in that situation. I go, man, this is like tense at the very least. And I think tense is a good, substitute for fear in a role-playing game. When you're like tensed up and like, oh my God, my character's going
to
die.
Or everybody's trying to figure out what they can do to get out of the situation.
Oh yeah, let's try to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how do we do that? And how do we get out of here without being implanted?
As the GM says, well, you could go outside and walk around. I'm sure that you'll make it before the alien gets you, right? Those kind of, you're like,
I would never say something like that. I don't want to give them false hope.
No fault.
Those are the things that I could think of that I thought weren't very good things for, situations or...
That games don't do well.
RPGs. That role-playing games wouldn't be able to do well. And I've been proven wrong. So I think there's all kinds of situations that may seem like role-playing games may not do well. But I think if you're smart enough and have enough ingenuity, like there's obviously a lot of game creators that do. Because I looked up sports games, RPGs, and stuff like that. And there was like dozens of them.
Some of them don't play well. I mean, yeah. Maybe the rules don't work very well.
Some are very light rules, right?
But it's going to depend on the GM and what kind of scenario they're going to run, right?
Correct. And I think when you look at how ingenious people ways look at what entails to do whatever you think is impossible or hard, you got to think of like these people were just thinking outside the box. They weren't thinking just of the game. They were thinking what leads up to the game, just right. Like in the movies, what leads up to the pivotal moment in the movie where Loudon Swain goes against whatever his name was, The Rock or The Shark or whatever it was.
No idea.
The bad guy wrestler, which wasn't really a bad guy. He was just this big dude that nobody had ever beaten. So that was a wrestling game. But it's everything before it, right? It's all this emotive action, this emotional stuff, this relationship stuff. And that's all stuff that RPGs can do.
I agree.
So if you find something that RPGs aren't good at, you can email me or us and we can talk about it.
There you go. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And you have a good day.